Attention builders, August 19th, Matt Reisinger and I are teaming up to bring you a proven framework that's guaranteed to focus your energy as an entrepreneur and save you hours of time every single week. Matt knows better than anyone how important it is to push out urgent interruptions and really just focus on what matters. Not sure how many of you know this, but he had to muddle through years of chaos, being pulled in every direction, everybody needing his time, and there just was never enough of it to go around. So on August 19th, I'm going to ask Matt to pull back the curtain on all of this in this very special webinar on priority management. We're going to be getting into some real life stories about times we've both missed the mark and spent months focused on the wrong thing and probably will never get that time back. But most importantly, what we actually did to shift this. So in this web class, our whole goal is to give you the tools that you need to avoid making the exact same mistakes. If you're ready to block distractions, set some clear priorities, and crush out your Q3 goals, do not miss this webinar. August 19th, click the link in the description and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Have you ever felt like you've hit a bit of a wall when it comes to your marketing? Well, you're not alone. Contractors do face unique challenges that other industries don't have to deal with. You can't get someone to impulse buy a new deck or an air conditioner or a new roof, right? You have to build trust, and you have to be memorable. Ryan Shute, partner at Wizard of Ads and international sales strategist, joins us to rewrite how contractors should think through their brand, their advertising, and their overall customer journey. In this episode, we're going to be covering how to identify memorable messages that play nicely with your core values, why contractors often misunderstand brand, and why it's really, really important, and why you should delete this satisfaction guaranteed on your website right now, and what you should replace it with. Let's jump in with Ryan from Wizard of Ads. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Ryan, the Wizard of Ads, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
We've got lots to get into, all things marketing and what you would call when we prep for this, but just before the show, the myths of marketing and things that we can get through on this. But before we do, just give us an insight, like, who are you? What do you guys do? What is this thing? It's different than an ad agency, right? You're more of a consultancy. Give us some insight on what you guys are up to.
Yeah, look, there's a whole bunch of things that marketing companies do incredibly well out there, be it specialty boutiques and full service firms. But very rarely do they get a few things right. And a gentleman named Roy H. Williams determined that many years ago and started an agency called Wizard of Ads, to which he brought in partners. And he handpicked these partners meticulously, looking for very specific things. One, incredibly strong creative writing. So the ability to write in a way that most ads are never written in, because an ad that sounds like an ad is invisible. The second thing that he was looking to bring in was negotiators and people who could negotiate out mass media in a very specific way, not the way that the media companies want to sell it to you, but in a way that gets the repetition necessary for the brain to bring it from short-term to mid-term to long-term memory. So he built that whole infrastructure, and he built it at a time when he was actually training and teaching radio and TV stations how to sell. And he was teaching them what actually mattered for them to be most successful in their stations. And the ones that were hugely successful went on to conglomerate into very large organizations as some of those acts and things like that changed. And we are where we are today with 80 partners and all around the world. And we my focus has been in contractors and helping essential home service providers really elevate their brands to become household names, not just recognized as a name that they could use against all the others.
What's unique about contractors and marketing? Where do we get things wrong? Where do we get things right? What do you notice in working with all of us?
Well, the thing that's unique about marketing in home services, which goes against fundamentals of marketing, is that we're selling an externally triggered grudge purchase. So unlike Lululemon pants, we're not going to inspire somebody to buy an air conditioner today. We're going to show up and minimize the pain that they're going through. We're selling pain relief in that way. So there's not an identity play to be made in so much as having people feel real good about how great their new air conditioner looks with those Lululemon pants on it. It's the fact that they have cold air again or they have hot air again. So that's challenging, right? You're coming at a situation that is already negative to start and trying to put some positivity into the space. Well, where this circles back to my industry of marketing is this default to believing that a few kind of key things. One, that it's a brand investment or it's a lead gen investment. We're either going to do branding or we're going to do lead investment. You know, we're going to generate leads. There's a huge belief out there, and marketers are really good at marketing themselves. Weirdly enough, they've convinced the universe that a lead can in fact be generated, when that is not an actual real thing. A lead cannot be generated. You can inspire something in a person, and a person can choose or decide to engage you, but you're not going to generate that lead. You're going to capture it. And that's really what most marketers do, is capture leads. Then there's Wizard of Ads. And Wizard of Ads is looking at it and saying, well, if I'm going to, in fact, inspire somebody to not just get their attention, but to hold their interest until such time as the consumer needs the thing that you're selling, and they choose you because they feel like you're the best solution, they know, like, and trust you, and you're the best option of the options out there, then they're going to engage you. And in fact, the lead is going to be captured. Well, for 35 years, we've been proving this over and over and over again at the highest levels in all kinds of industries, from B2B, B2C, retail, certainly the home service space, you know, since the early days of Jay Abrams and working with Jay Abrams, John Young, and the people who've really kind of formed and forged the industry as it is today. When I entered the space in 2017, a lot of private equity, a lot of push towards getting a lot of money on the table, a lot of eyes being open for the first time at how much money could actually be made, and that, you know, that lowly blue collar worker could actually become a millionaire, you know, God forbid. And I love that, because I grew up in that high friction retail environment, you know, grinding it out, making a living, but, you know, kind of that blue worker space, a blue collar worker space. I was on the delivery trucks and hauling furniture and just doing the pay for money kind of stuff that grounded out to get you by and put food on the table. So it's always kind of been an affinity to me to serve helpers, people who are trying to make a situation better, right?
And if I understand what you're saying, you spoke about it just a second ago, but you're talking about in the contracting space, is it that we're more of a commodity, that we are a solution to a problem versus we're convincing somebody to buy something that they never even realized they needed? Is that the difference that we're dealing with in our industry? Or?
Yeah. So just a wonderful question. The reality of it is that in any business where you sell the same thing as everyone else, perceptually or actually, there is absolutely no way that you can charge more for that thing until you bring in relationship, until you figure out how you're going to relationally solve that problem better than your consumer, than your competition. Big companies get big money. Trusted companies get big. So at the end of the day, the only way that you're going to win this game is when you become the person that they trust more than the guy next to you. And that's all about feelings. And a lot of people kind of struggle with the feelings part. And when you start shining a light on that in marketing, boys, it becomes a totally different landscape on what you need to do than when you're selling, which is very different than marketing.
So let's talk about this a little bit. And when it comes to even identifying, like, what is the emotion we want to instill in our customers, and even what customers should I attract versus other ones? Because I'd imagine, like, my personality and my emotional connection to certain people will be much deeper than others. And they might both want an HVAC system, but there's a certain type of customer I need to attract. Can you just speak to this for a little bit?
Yeah, there's two types of customers. The world that we live in is a world of duality. It's one end of the spectrum or the other, and it's always a spectrum. In economics, you'd look at it as a bell curve, right? And you have that propensity to buy customer at the top of the bell curve. They're the ones kind of in between being transactional and relational. A transactional customer is a customer in survival mode thinking, right? They think like a survivor. They don't think like a thriver. Then you have the relational buyers. A relational buyer is thinking about this in the long term. They're expecting you back in their home. They want you to be trustworthy, and they want to receive from you in a convenient manner, because that's really the thing that you're selling here is convenience. Convenience is the moneymaker, and the moneymaker never happens without trust, and trust doesn't happen without empathy and competence. So when we really start to break down the ingredients of how we're going to get people to step in relationally to our business, those are the customers we want, the good customers, the high cap customers, as I call them, the high conversion, average ticket, and profit customers are the ones that are going to listen to you when you talk to them. And they're going to take your recommendations, and they're going to pay you the money that needs to be paid to do the job the way that needs to be done. And you're going to earn that by putting your prices at the value that they are, but not charging them for the inefficiency that you have baked into your business. They're going to buy from you when you demonstrate your competence. But before that, your empathy. If you don't empathetically approach the situation first before anything else, they're never going to let you in, right? And that's where all of these sales break down. And they don't break down once you've crossed the threshold. They break down days and weeks and months beforehand if you brand your business properly.
So give me some specifics to this. Empathy and competence. How does this show up in a brand? How does this show up in your marketing? Like, what are you doing physically to have this be a thing?
Yeah, well, you know how most companies talk about that they wear booties, and I think of the classic video, TV ad, 30-second TV ad that's out there, and it's the worst ad ever created in the history of ads. It's the truck parks out front with the branded truck. The guy walks up, smiles, shakes the hand, puts the booties on. They have a little laugh at the and conversation at the thermostat, then they have a little laugh over the table or the kitchen counter, and then the guy is going about his work, and then they're waving goodbye as the guy's getting back into his truck and going away, all denoting the trust, right? Absolutely just astoundingly terrible, because it's just so, you could literally replace any brand and stick it in there, meaning that there is zero chance of the customer remembering you over any other company. All you're doing is reminding them of the industry. If we were to then do that in a brand, and in the brand we did something completely off the wall, like we had a guy named Billy Ray from Billy Ray's Hole Digging, and he's talking a little loud because there's a diesel in the background and it's just humming a little bit, and he's super proud about the 1-star Yelp reviews he's getting about those horrendous holes that he's digging in the person's yard, and how it's just absolutely destroying their prize-winning azaleas and their concrete and pissing off their neighbors. But hey, it's the best hole that you've ever seen in your whole life. To bring it back down and say, hey, our company is going to come in and inintrusively do a trenchless system that has you never worrying about ruining your yard or disturbing your neighbors ever again. Super fast, same day service, absolutely no concern about you ever having to worry about the discomfort of any of the situation, and resolving your sewer issue so you don't have to worry about having poop on your floor. Those are things that people remember. And now we've established a relationship with this crazy guy named Billy Ray and the solution provider that's going to make Billy Ray go away. And there's an affinity to me wanting to work with that brand because I know them. I like them. I trust them. They made me laugh a little bit. I showed empathy. How did I show empathy? By telling a story about a crazy guy, right? And then showing empathy about how we make that go away fast and easy with smart technologies and extraordinary techniques. And I do it fast, right? I never promise cheap. I just promise fast.
Yeah. You're speaking to like some entertainment, some like kind of, and you're speaking to like what people think in the back of their heads. So you're kind of bringing that to the forefront of their minds, and you're giving them a chance to almost like disarm them a little bit, where it's like, I'm not here just to sell you something. I'm here to kind of like laugh at the simple truths of life, and I'm here to fix that as well.
let's laugh at the real pain that we know is going to be a real thing for you, because no one has ever said, you know what, I really, really appreciated that horrible experience of the trench coming in and them destroying my lawn and my azaleas and my 3,000-year-old tree and my driveway and making my neighbors hate me for the rest of my life. I love that situation. I'm going to give you 5 stars. It just didn't happen. It's yet to happen. And anyone who says it's happened is lying to you. So what do? Call it out. Make a story of it. Draw a picture to it, and then resolve that pain. Crescendo up, crescendo down, over and over and over again, 365 days a year, tell different stories. That's just one of many stories that we've told about that client. And it's absolutely astounding what happens. In his case, he went from $50,000 to $60,000 a month in average revenue. Within 2 months, he was over $300,000. Within 9 months, he was running somewhere in the realm of $800,000 to $1 million in revenue a month. A month. Now, that's an extreme case, but there was an extreme opportunity. So every situation is different, but it goes to show, when you're a great operator and you make people feel right about you, before the relationship starts at the threshold of the door, your life gets a lot easier.
You spoke to it almost like, is this just something that you like came out of the top of your head? There's a process to this, is there not? Like, how do you sit down with somebody? Like, if somebody's listening right now, how do they sit down with a piece of paper or ChatGPT and like figure out what these stories actually should be and start to understand what is the narrative arc I'm trying to build here? How do you do this? How do you uncover this for yourself?
Well, it's, you know, there's two paths, right? There's the path that where you do it yourself and you do the best with what you've got. And that's your first problem, right? The solution to that is first decide who you are. What is your mission, right? When I did my research around the, you know, nonsense that you see written on walls all over the country, dusty with the words of core values and mission statements and all the other nonsense that actually doesn't move anybody or do anything or guide any 1 ounce of your principles or behaviors, more importantly, I started to realize a theme, and I got that theme narrowed down after many thousands of different versions in and out of our industry, down to 3 big buckets: helping people win, and being trustworthy, and living gratefully. And those 3 things represent everything that happens in every business that's looking to grow their brand and be successful. Every brand that has done that, every brand that has deviated from that and seen the pain from that, always deviate from these 3 things: helping people win and what that means to your company, your brand, how being trustworthy shows up. Being trustworthy is an action. Integrity is an ideal, right? No one cares about integrity. Everyone cares about how you're being trustworthy, worthy of trust. Being grateful or living gratefully, right? Helping people win. These are actions. A mission is an action. A mission is an internal sentiment. It is not an outward thing. It is safe to present outwards, but it is not for the world. If you are in the military and you're a big military unit sitting down here and the bad guys are up on the hill, you're not going to scream out to them, "We're going to come take the hill," right? That's silly, right? We're going to have a mission, and our mission in sales is going to be sell somebody something on every sale if there's an ethical sale to be made. Full stop. That's my objective for my mission. That's how I help somebody at a higher level than going in and not making the sale, right? When a sale should be made, because all you did was waste their time. You wasted their energy. You didn't resolve the thing and make something happen, right? So we're serving people at the highest level when we do make the sale, which is why we actually feel good about being, about helping people win by making the sale. It also denotes trustworthiness, right? And we can be trustworthy by telling them the truth, including the truths that have nothing to do with us. One of the ways that I present offers for companies is to give them 5.5 options. Option number 1, do nothing or do it yourself, right? Option number 2, get a handyman or a guy doing it for beer and weed money. They're absolutely going to be able to do that for you for less than I'm going to charge you today. Now, the difference between them and me is that you hire us. We're professionals. We know what to do, just like the handyman probably knows what to do. Mm-hmm. The difference is we know what not to do. And that's what matters here. And that's why we're going to back it up with a much better warranty than Fly-By-Night Charlie. Number 3 is retail. here's what it takes to fix it. Here's the price. It's never here's what it takes to fix it plus a bunch of other crap I want to sell you. It's here's what it takes to fix it. Right? Full stop. We can be, we can delay our gratification for those other things we want to sell. We'll just sell the first thing. We got to break the seal first, right? Before you break the seal, you got nothing. Break the seal, then sell other stuff. If there's other stuff that's ethical to sell. Then we have option number four. Here's the club price. To join our community is to get a savings and a benefit for doing that. And here's the club payment to just reduce this price to the ridiculous to make it palpable for them to say yes to. But I said 5.5 options, right? What's that 0.5 option? Well, you could replace it, but this old girl's got plenty of juice left in it. There's no reason why we need to replace it today. Now, I've probably just broken half the brains of half the people in this who are saying, I need replacement sales. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. And one of the best ways to get a replacement sale is to show your empathy first. Your empathy is talking the way the customer wants to hear from you, which is, oh, yeah, one of the options is I don't have to hire you. And another one is that I can hire someone cheaper. Now you've already handled the objection before it even existed, right? You win because you didn't actually ever have to deal with the objection. You put it on the table, knowing that it's already on the table. Just be brave enough to do that. Then you tell them what it takes to fix it, not fix it plus, just fix it, right? Back to manufacturer spec.
You're leaning into just like realities, yes. Both on the objections that a customer would have, realities about the pain that a customer would have. You're kind of just like willing to, it's like, I call it like inception, where you're like, you're willing to name what we're actually in right now. Yes. And people kind of get a kick out of it. And it's different, isn't it? It's refreshing to hear it in that way.
Yeah. It from the customer standpoint, it's the most refreshing thing they'll ever hear, because how many times have they been pitched the 5-6 different options where you go from the Band-Aid solution that we'll do if we have to? Why in the world would you do a Band-Aid solution that you wouldn't be willing to do? If you're willing to put your name on a Band-Aid, does that suggest that your business is worthy of my money and my trust? Absolutely not. You're immediately telling the world that you're incompetent, right? And you're willing to do incompetent things. That does not instill confidence in a customer.
So you start to identify these things, and you start to kind of get a bit of a list, I would imagine, of funny, unique realities that the customer is dealing with and their pains and the things that they would object. And you have like very real, raw, just genuine answers to these things. How do you stitch this together and start to get that message out to the world? Like, what's the next step?
Well, from our world as marketers, in the scope of work that we're going to be doing, of putting that on a radio ad or in a social media post or in an email letter that goes out to somebody, or even a text message, we're instilling this situation, this scenario, and calling it out for what it is. You'd ask, what are the feelings that we need a person to feel? And there's three things. There's laugh, cry, or make them angry. Now, obviously, you don't want them angry at you, so you're making them angry at the injustices of the industry, right? These are the things you're calling out and standing for. It's your North Star. It's your value. I'm not going to do a Band-Aid. I'm not going to do a $29 tune-up. A $29 tune-up is a sales call. A tune-up requires part replacements. Show me what you replaced. No one's going to be able to show you anything for $29 but a sales pitch, right? So
you're saying this in your ad copy, or you're saying this physically, yes. And everyone's just like, yeah, he's right.
Right. Right. And do I ruffle feathers? Yes. But that's the point, isn't it? Right. If you're not ruffling a feather, are you actually getting anyone's attention? Are you holding their interest? Are they deciding that you're the guy that you need to be that they need to be working with when it comes time for them to need the thing that you sell? Well, that's going to take time, because trust takes time. People just don't instantly us. Oh, yeah, he said that thing. He must be trustworthy. They might need a thing and call you and allow you in to see if you are what you promised to be on the ads that you're running. But as you develop campaigns and branding, you're telling stories about your employee experience and what your employees are willing and not willing to do, and how easy it is for them to sell in these elegant, fun stories that affect the buying experience. And it's the employee and buying experience that inform the advertising to what your brand is going to be seen as. And when they see you as something of value, right, of worthy of trust, that you are the helper in this situation, not the seller in this situation, you win. You win, and in two ways, weird ways. One, for the customers that call you, that's not weird at all. Two, for the people who are going to recommend you that you never, ever have done business with, they're going to say, oh, yeah, you got to go use, you know, Jerry's air conditioning. These guys are great. I hear their ads all the time. They're awesome, right? Never used you before, right? And then three, the people who have already decided to use you that you have yet to meet, you don't even know they exist, but they're your number one fan, right? That's exciting.
You're creating like a lasting impression with people, regardless of the actual experience of buying you. They're like the this. Yeah. I have a question on this because I've seen this go awry as well on even our team, where we all get excited to be super vulnerable and we want to just like talk about stuff that's kind of embarrassing. But it's like we miss the mark a bit because that's what we kind of thought was cool and funny and interesting. And we kind of like want to make fun of the contractor and we do it in a cheesy way. And it hits on the wrong. Like, where does this happen? How do you watch for this while you're doing this? Cause this is a fun exercise, but people are going to listen to this podcast and come up with some crazy stuff, which some of it's probably genius and some of it really just needs to land on the cutting room floor. Like it should not leave. How do you identify this?
Well, it's, you know, if you're not experienced in this, the chances of you getting it right are 10%. You might get lucky enough to get it. I'm being really ridiculously generous at 10%. There's also a whole bunch of things that come out that are, I saw one person, they had, you know, they have their brand, which is the last name of the business owners. Then they have this logo that is the letter of their brand, and the marketing people that they talked to convinced them that they needed to make it all about the letter, all about the, like, remember the letter, we're reinforcing the logo, reinforce the logo. Worst idea ever. Terrible concept. It is never going to work. It is going to take so much work to get any bit of movement on that. McDonald's doesn't say, you know, the golden arches. Remember the golden arches, the golden arches. Everything is about the golden arches. No, they just show the golden arches in relationship to I'm loving it. I'm loving it activates emotion, right? The arches anchor to the emotion and make it the bell of Pavlov's dog, the famous researcher who rang a bell every time he fed a dog meat paste and got to the point where he could just ring the bell and the dog would salivate. That's what great advertising strategy does. But it's all about the words. You get the words wrong, you're ruined. You're going to spend a bunch of money. You're going to go nowhere. This is why branding is hard and people are terrified of it. And it's not a branding versus lead gen thing. It's actually three things. Well, we can talk about that later. But more importantly, the words have to be right. So where do you start with that? Helping people win in a trustworthy and grateful manner helps you define what you believe and what you value and what value you bring to the table. I'll say something real cheeky that's going to throw some people off as well. And I'll give me a moment to explain. Your beliefs are worthless. And they're also absolutely essential.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, right? See?
What are you talking about?
I know how to say it in a sentencing moment here. So your beliefs are valuable because they're the constellations and stars in the sky. What makes them worthless is that they move, right? When you believe in justice and mercy, you believe them both to be true, but it depends on which side of the table you're sitting on. If as the accused murderer, you want to have mercy, and as the victim's family, you want justice. But what happens when the victim's family murders the murderer? Now, what does the victim's family want? Their belief system has changed to suit their convenience. This is true in our businesses. When we do something different and incongruent with the thing that the customer believes to be just in the situation, right? And when those things are able to be moved, it throws your employees off. Yeah. It throws your customers off. It shakes the core of your business, which is where core values live. Core values live in the things that you're going to do that are inconvenient for you, no matter what. It's the hill you die on. Your core values are the things that you're not going to change, even when it hurts, and only when it hurts, especially when it hurts, when you have to suffer, when you have to sacrifice, when you have to impose a consequence upon yourself. That is a core value. And your core value is the thing that people value. And the thing that people value are your values.
What you're saying in a roundabout way is your core values are guiding these messages. They're the bit of the litmus test that you're putting yourself against, saying, you know, ours is be real, embrace the journey, and have a genuine care for people. And so if I'm going to come up with a message, I better go look at my core values and say, is it fitting within those three? And if it's rubbing one of them the wrong way, the chances are, although it's a funny, cool, hilarious thought, it's not the right message for the marketplace. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that your core message is be real.
Yeah.
It's, what's the second one?
Embrace the journey.
Embrace the journey.
And have a genuine care for people.
And care for people. That's actually your rules of engagement.
Okay. Right?
Now, they're oriented in your values. So your rules of engagement are attached to your mission, right? Your mission to grow businesses, you know, in a profitable and accelerated way. So the objective is one thing. And then your rules of engagement live in that. And those are the three rules of engagement that you have in your business. They show up as core values because that sounds like something it should show up as. But the true core value is, what does be real mean? Like, how do we be real? And when we're not real, what is our punishment?
Right.
Right. That's the core value.
It's being able to take the consequence when we're not doing what we say we were supposed to be doing. It's when I think about be real, it's kind of like, just give examples, but it's basically like, hey, we need to be the same human being we are at the dinner table as we are with our customers every single day.
Right.
We also need to be able to speak truth when the hard truth is glaring us in the eye. We need to be able to stand up to that and say what really is versus what we think others want us to hear.
Boom. There you go. So having the hard conversation is your core value, right? In one way of how it shows up. The hard conversation is the suffering, is the pain, is the consequence that you impose upon yourself rather than fluffing it off and walking away and silence is golden kind of thing, right? In the be real, the same person that you are at the dinner table as you are at the conference table. Love it. What you're saying is absolutely to its core true. Those are your rules of engagement. That's the thing you're supposed to do. The core value is when I am not the same person at my conference table as I am at my dinner table, with showing up at the same level of gratitude and love and empathy to my people who are representing me and my brand and my intentions, right? Then I should be imposing a consequence on myself. One, they should be able to call me out. Two, they should be able to reorient me back to my original intention. And three, I need to be comfortable with either apologizing, which some people believe in and some people believe is a shame system, or committing to an action that gets me back on track to my core values.
This is what you're saying before about a North Star promise, like the things that will basically hold you accountable. And this and how do you use that, like a North Star promise, in your marketing?
Through warranties and guarantees. So a warranty is different than a guarantee. A warranty is a product and labor commitment that comes with an obligation, legally, usually. A guarantee is a promise that you're making. We don't like using the word brand promise because it's a bit overused and most people misunderstand that. But when we show it up as a guarantee, certainly in the home service space, we can frame a guarantee to articulate a consequence. Give you an example. One of our absolutely wonderful clients down in Kansas City has a campaign oriented around perfect, right? And he gets to define perfect when you start to own the word perfect. So the idea here is that nothing is perfect in life, but if we're going to make it perfect, we're not going to stop until it is, so that we make sure that the customer is not just getting satisfactory solutions, but delightful above satisfaction solutions that we orient inside our business. We can actually develop this and construct it in our systems. There's something very special that you have to do there. So perfect. What is one of the perfect guarantees? If we don't show up on time for your install day at 8 o'clock a.m. when we promise to be there, we'll give you $500. Consequence. Now, they've had to give the $500 this year three times, because something went awry, right? But instantly it's out. It's not they have to, the customer has to tug it out of them. It's they volunteer it.
So these North Star promises are all tied to your core values, and they're the things that you promise you'll do, because if you don't, there's a consequence actually even tied to them, which I read on your website, actually, this whole idea of a consequence clause is a thing as well. So you're tying one right into the other.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's it. The consequence is what makes a guarantee potent. Everything else, like 100% satisfaction guarantee, if that exists on your website, there's go no and delete it right now. It means nothing. Right? What do you do? Anything it takes. What does that mean? Whatever it needs to. What level of trust have you instilled in anybody saying that along with everyone else? If you're saying what everyone is saying, you're saying nothing.
Yeah, it shows you haven't really thought it through. You're just putting words on a page. So
you're committed to saying whatever you need to make the sale, right? And this is what empathy looks like. This is what you have to show up before the customer decides to work with you. We ask all the time, what do you do to show people that you're trustworthy before they decide to interact with you or any other company in your industry? And they go, well, we got the Google 5-star reviews. And it's like, no. They've already decided to engage your industry. I'm talking about before they decide to engage your industry, before they go to Google and see the 4,000 options they have available to them. What are you doing to make you stand out as the choice that they know, like, and trust and prefer to use? And invariably, it's always nothing, right? So let's start there. Because when you can win the game before the game even starts, you'll have the exact same kind of results. You'll never have the exact same results. You'll have a similar or a representative result that our folks in Houston have, where they didn't run Google last year. Not one penny went to Google last year. They have a GMB location, full stop, and generated $13 million in revenue with a radio campaign and a direct mail campaign. Nothing more.
I read this when I was reading through your guys' website, but it seems like you're a little more on the, like, TV, radio, more traditional marketing than on the bandwagon of social media. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, no, it's the funny thing is that a lot of people feel that way, and they feel that way because there's not enough attention being paid to that part of the conversation. So this circles us back to the three things that people don't know about marketing. Most people think you got to do branding or lead gen, right? We already know that lead gen is a myth. It's as made up as tune-ups for $29. And it's distracting what marketing actually is needing to do. Now, when I talk about marketing, I'm specifically talking about the advertising component of marketing, where we need to first have brand awareness. And then second thing we need to have, messaging wise, is sales activation, soft call to actions and hard call to actions. Here's the thing that you might not have thought about, but if you're hearing this noise or seeing this thing, you might want to consider us having come take a look, right? That's a call to action.
Yep.
$29 tune-up, call to action. $29 tune-up, easily to be degraded and ruin your brand equity through your brand integrity. A $100 and $120 checking clean for an air conditioner boasts infinitely more brand integrity because you're charging at least what a customer would perceive as an appropriate price. Now, you can offer a furnace fitness check in the fall free when they get their thing to give it a discounted price, right? Because you're not actually taking the money off. You're holding the price and giving more value, right? The way you say something, the way you frame it, will show up differently as to what they perceive your brand to be. The cheap Charlie in town who's just going to try to make a sales call out of this, or the high value proposition that's giving me a whole bunch more value for my money. And now I'm in the house twice, right? For two very specific things, one for the air conditioner, one for the furnace. I'm not trying to make them all things all the time for all people. Speak to the right people about the right thing, and you're going to get way more attention than trying to be everything to everyone, right? So again, I'm hoping to pull practical thoughts and tactics into this as we discuss it, so that people can go and do it right now.
I'm just thinking of a funny example of this. I remember Black Friday deals are always, like, all over the map. And then you see the one that says, you know, Black Friday deal, there is no deal.
Yeah.
And you're just laughing and you click on it because you're like, it's the one thing that's different and it's honest and it's upfront and it's holding integrity to like, we have good stuff and we're not discounting it.
Which is basically what Apple's doing with their one sale a year where they're selling out all the old stock inventory. And that's the only purpose of the Black Friday sale is for them to get rid of the old stuff and showcase the new stuff. And as many people buy the new stuff as they do the old stuff, because they understand their value proposition and have positioned themselves appropriately. This is the rub of it. So now we've talked about two things. We talked about brand awareness, sales activation, and the two different iterations that it can be. Those are absolutely essential from the messaging standpoint of building that into your lead capture. That's the last place. Now you can capture a lead one of four ways: on a form, fill, a phone call, an email, email or text, some sort of text, chat, text, or whatever. So you have these four conduits in which a person can step over your threshold. That's where most digital marketers live. And then they've backed it up with some sort of like presence somewhere. They've shown up on Google pay-per-click. They've shown up in ChatGPT. They've shown up on Bing. They've shown up in social medias. All of these things matter. Wizard of Ads loves all of them. Ryan Chute loves all of them. We could not care less what channel is being used. Any channel that has ever proven its salt is a channel that we will entertain. We just won't let it be the only part of a three-part solution, because the channel is the least important part of this whole thing. The message is the most important part. 60% of the message needs to be weighted towards your brand, your values, and why someone might not want to just get the attention of the business, but hold the attention of the business and decide on the business as the one that they know, like, and trust are going to use when they need the thing you sell, right? This is the classic AIDA marketing path that has been around for 100 years. And the action that is taken is they do one of the four things that have them step over the threshold of letting you come into their house or give the opportunity to give them a quote or a price or a guidance or a consultation. So where do things fall apart? In the strategy. That's what we are, is a strategy. Build the strategy right, and then we're going to spend probably the same amount of money, including our fees, that you would have spent anyway. We can just spend it way better than you because we're going to put it in the right spots. And it's not to be arrogant. It's practice, right? Just like that really nice air conditioning system that you can install way better than me. I promise you, or hot water tank or tankless water heater or electric panel or generator. Do not have me touch a tool. I trust you to do the thing that you do best. We're going to be able to do that with your marketing budget, right?
Yeah. So what we've talked about so far is like, we're finding our brand personality first. What are our values? What are the things we stand for? What are the consequences for those things? We're using that to then formulate a message that is unique and kind of blunt and kind of makes people laugh because it's so super true, but it resonates with us and it resonates with our customers. It's kind of the middle ground of where we both meet.
Yeah.
Finally, after doing all of that work, we've started to establish that, I guess, is that what you're speaking to, the strategy? Like, that is a bit of the strategy. Now we can finally go and cut and paste and put it in whatever medium, whatever tactic we want.
Now that we have the strategy, we have to get the copyright.
Yeah.
If we don't get the copyright, it doesn't work. A lot of people are gonna do things and say things that no one cares about, which is what we spoke about a little bit earlier, about saying the thing that not everyone else is gonna say by standing for the things and standing against the things that no one is standing for or against now. And then making it really interesting. The biggest lesson I learned as a sales guy coming into the Wizard of Ads was, I'm not gonna be a writer. Right. The first meeting, I'm like, these guys aren't saying anything that sounds anything like selling. Right. Which has been my whole life. I grew up in retail, in automotive, in furniture. I grounded out with discounts and offers and mid-funnel activities my whole life. And I informed the discount sheets that we would put on flyers to get people to buy our sofas, or the savings that they were get, or the 0% financing and all the nutsy boltsy stuff that no one cares about. That just confirms whether or not they're going to buy the thing that they already know in their heart that they want. I like the damn Dodge Ram truck better than the Ford F-150. I like the Chevy Silverado better than I like the Denali. All of these different things that they've already had a preconceived idea of. But in most home service companies, they haven't done any of that. The customer doesn't even know that they are GMC, right? It's like some indescript car brand from China that no one's heard of. They're like, why would I trust that?
Yeah, all of our brands generally are not well known as like these large, large organizations and brands. Is that kind of what you mean?
Very, very much so. The brands that people would know in local communities, most people would know the name 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Yeah. It's one of the few, and they've done a very good job, I think, of encapsulating their customer and speaking to these messages that people are like, what is it? It's the point. It's like, just point, and it'll disappear. Have you seen that commercial with them? Do you love it or hate it? You can critique it if you want. Yeah. But
Wizard of Ads writes those commercials. So we've seen them all. And they have done an astoundingly good job, good enough job that they've gone from $100 million company when we started with them to nearly $1 billion. And that's a privately held franchise. So when you start to see what impact communication has and getting communication right, it is quite literally the game changer in your business, because not only does it go out to the customers to start developing a tribe of people that want to do business the way you do business, that are relational minded and are going to listen to you when you show up and take your recommendations and buy more stuff as a result, you're also going to have the ability to bring that inside the business to say, this is what we are, this is what we stand for and against, and this is how we're going to show up and do business. Here's how we're going to make it easier for sellers to sell, to make it easier for buyers to buy. And guess what happens? The employee experience and the buying experience end up being in the ads, right? As stories that aren't about Joe who just went out to Sally's, place the other day and get an air conditioning cleaned up, but by some crazy thing like the Billy Ray hole digging scenario that I talked about earlier, where they feel and see the pain. They see themselves in the story. They see themselves as horrified in Hershey 69, writing the one-star review for Billy Ray, but Billy Ray takes it as a compliment, right? And that's how they think that that Billy Ray feels about it. The Billy Rays of this universe who just destroyed their lawn and intruded their space so aggressively that they'll never be the same. And their home is almost unrecognizable and feels wrong, right? It's off. It throws off the mojo of my home from here on forth because of this horrible experience I had.
Got it. Is there anything else we should get into today? I feel like we've really hit the messaging piece. I feel like we've really started to dive into a little bit about how this disseminates down. Is there anything else that you'd want to talk about today?
I think where the real value in this is where it goes next, right? Once you have an extraordinary message based off of the assets that you have at your disposal and the values that you're willing to stand for and stand against with consequence, then you change your media mix. You're going to change your media mix every time. It's always something, but it's going to be in how often it gets listened to or heard, how often it shows up in the person's mind. This is no different than the training that you have to deal with. People's brains are designed to forget. There's a forgetting curve that lasts about 7 days. And in 7 days, you need to hear a thing 3 times for it to start to anchor from short-term memory, about 7 seconds, into midterm memory, working memory. That's about 7 days. 7 days, but gets erased with sleep in those 7 days. It's like defragging an old PC where it's just kind of condensing all the files and squishing them together. Well, that's happening to our neurotransmitters. If we're not feeding the neurotransmitter, the brand message that's resonating with some sort of emotional juice, right? And there is an actual chemical reaction going on there. That's why I call it juice. And that's going to get us back to the chemistry of the brain where you can start taking up real estate. Well, this is the exact same thing you have to do with your training, right? You have to go over it and over and over it again to reinforce it in your people. So you got to make it easy. David Packard of Hewlett Packard, so the P in HP, once said, marketing is far too important to be left to the marketing department. And that's just kind of been my motto, being the sales guy at a Wizard of Ads place where everyone's a marketer. And that allows me to look at this from both inside the operation and outside what needs to be done. The crazy things that the writers are going to do, that they're going to say, that are going to be completely true and congruent with your brand, but also totally different than anything you'd say are going to be totally different than those things that are going to happen inside your business. They're going to show up in different ways. But what you're going to find is that the channel that matters the most after mass media of getting that exposure is the buying experience. What you do to deliver on the promises that are made, both inferred and in reality, are going to be the reason why your company grows, because they're getting the experience that they expected and then a little bit more. And the last most magical thing that I can leave people with as a tactic for their business is the science of delight. Delight comes from surprise. Delight generates the molecule oxytocin. When you make an offer ahead of time, so that same company that has the perfect campaign, they had on their website, "We deliver extraordinary service," which now means they have no chance of ever exceeding extraordinary, which means that the best that they could possibly do is satisfy a person. And almost certainly they can guaranteed not satisfy them, right? Because they didn't deem it exceptional. So we get rid of that copy and we replace it with perfect, and then start messing around with the hard truths about perfect and what that means and calling it out a bit, right? From that, we now have this narrative that comes inside the business that says, here's how we're going to frame this stuff and here's what consequences we're going to do. Let's simplify this thing so that it's real easy for us to be perfect all the time. But in our operation, if we were to do something to get it to satisfactory, like we just did a good job today, mm-hmm. right? We see that as 4 stars. Everyone just kind of got to 4 stars. We just did the job. The 5th star is the delight star. This is the extra mile. This is the doing the thing they weren't expecting. This is the magic in the magic trick.
This is the plus one. Is that a term for it?
It's the plus one that you don't disclose so that the delight can occur. Delight lives in surprise. If you're going to surprise someone, if you're going to delight someone, you have to do something that you didn't tell them that you were going to do to close the deal. Because if you told them you're going to do it to close the deal, you're going to activate dopamine and you're going to activate cortisol if you don't do the thing that you promised, right? Those chemicals are going to determine how many stars you're going to get or how happy your customer is. But the ones that get something they weren't promised but got the extra, they get oxytocin. They get oxytocin. What do? They give you a 5-star review. They give you unsolicited referrals. They are an advocate for your business, and they're certain to come back and buy more from you because you gave them more than expected. Your value proposition was disproportionate to the money that they already agreed to pay you.
I also find operationally it helps a lot because I used to be a painter, so I used to find there was always touch-ups at the end of a job, and that's fine. It's a part of the process. But when you do that plus one, there just seems to be far less touch-ups that the customer wants done. And it's just a mental thing, but and the opposite is true when you lose their trust along the way. When there was an expectation that was missed, suddenly there's, even though it's the same paint job, there's just like 10 times more touch-ups that the customer would like done. And it's all in the eye of the beholder. It's all in perception. But when you bring that perception to saying, hey, I'm on the same team as you right away by having that built into your process. Just to close this out for today, because I do think that's a good point. Is there any ways to do this for different contracting examples that you've seen, just to give some people ideas on how do we give our plus ones? How do we give our little extra piece that we won't promise in our sales process, but we'll have it as a part of our operations?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So one of the ways that you could do a plus one is exactly what you just mentioned about the touch-ups. When you say, we're going to come in and we're going to paint and you never promise any touch-ups. And at the very end of it, they're happy with everything. They've given you the seal of approval. They've promised you a 5-star review. And you say, now look, in 2 weeks time, I'm going to come back and I'm going to come do the touch-ups for you. Can we schedule that in today? And they go, oh, I wasn't expecting you to do touch-ups.
They often expect touch-ups, actually.
What's that?
They often expect touch-ups, I find. It is a part of the end of a paint job, but...
Of course. But again, it's all in the framework. If they go, I expect you to do touch-ups, and you go, actually, here, we just give you a can of paint and a fresh paintbrush. You can do your own damn touch-ups. That's one way of solving the touch-ups problem, right? And it's all proportionate to your value proposition, and there's all kinds of other things. We look at what that thing is in plumbing. What is the thing that you could do that stands 600 feet above the competition? Well, here's one great way. You could, for example, put in and install a new tankless water heater. And in that new tankless water heater, you're going to have a water filtration on it, because in the tankless water, you very often have more intricate parts and they get gummed up, and certainly in those high calcified areas. Well, what if you sent out 6 bags of salt a month later? Mm-hmm. Right? No prompting is for you. We didn't tell you we're going to send these out. We just like, you know what? A lot of people, when they get a new filter system, a softening system, forget that they need to go to Costco and pick up those bags of salt. We just wanted to ship this bag of salt for you. And I'm here right now. Did you want me to fill it up and do a little quick check over to make sure everything's operating correctly?
And it's a good reminder down the road. I know my buddy used to clean carpets. He used to dust their trim boards, or, you know, sometimes we would power wash their driveway. And just little things like that go a long way.
Right. Well, and the closer it ties to the relevance of it, the better. Right. We had folks that were saying, as soon as they sign up or get an installation from us, we send them out some handcrafted candles, and no one was ever thanking us for them. And I said they didn't thank you for them because they thought they just bought candles as well, because you sent them right afterwards. I said, all you have to do is send them candles 9 months from now, mm-hmm. when they've forgotten about the sale and it's Thanksgiving and you just sent candles and you thought, I thought these would look really pretty on your dining room table for your Thanksgiving meal. I just wanted to thank you for being a part of our family too. We really are grateful for you.
Yeah. I just had, this is another example I'm just thinking of, but I just had my windshield replaced and they put brand new windshield wipers on my truck. And I was like, sick. Thank you.
That's right. You just got a little shot of oxytocin.
I did. And they actually gave me a little bag of chocolates too. And I was like, oh, this is good. I eat those too. But it was the windshield wipers that I actually appreciated more than anything.
So. This is it. So they're spending, and this is the thing. When you think about it operationally, I spend an extra $1.30 on those chocolates that I don't need to put into your thing when all I had to do was the windshield wipers. And that ticks the box. You don't need to do so much that it's not operationally long-term feasible or it's taking away from profits. This is the thing that will get you more profits, I promise you, in repeat business, unsolicited referrals, and 5-star reviews where they gush about you, right? There's so much power in that. We have to do the things that we don't promise to do. If David Copperfield was up on stage and told you how he's going to get that elephant on stage, you would not be impressed. Like, there'd be some engineers in the place that would be going, that was kind of neat. But like, you're not going to go, whoa, like... And we're trying to get the whoa kind of thing. Oh, that's pretty sick. Friggin' wiper blades. I didn't even ask for it. They didn't have to do that.
And I'm sure it was built into the price. But but for me, I didn't expect it when I paid that price. So that was the key.
That's right. Yeah. You said yes to the price. Yeah. So the value was there. You said yes to when the work got done. The extra was we did the thing. What if you were to take back a check to the customer after the install was done? Here's $83.67. We always have a little bit of a contingency built in. We didn't use it all. I just felt right that I gave you back this money. I hope that's okay. Would there ever be a situation in the history of histories where that would not be okay?
No, I would. I've never had that happen yet, so I'd be happy to take it.
Right? If you want to stand out, you have to do it before, during and after the sale, and you have to bake in magic, right? And you do that by not telling the person how you're going to do the extra mile. You just do the extra mile.
That's good. That's a great nugget. Is there any other just last action steps or just thoughts from everything we've talked about that people listening right now can do based on this, based on how they craft their messaging, how they build it for their, you know, to release it out to the public, how they add these plus ones in operations, like lots of little things we talked about. What's just like a simple, quick win that you would recommend for everyone listening?
There's a couple things. One, go through the helping people win in a trustworthy and grateful manner exercise, doing it yourself. And exploring that with you and your team. That's a small, low-cost way of you just really starting to articulate where the things are and then define what the consequences are that you're willing to apply to things that customers would care about. You can do this in your life, by the way, too, with your wife, with your kids, with your coworkers, with your community. All of these things are relevant in everything you do. This isn't a only works in business kind of thing. The second thing that you could do is take a class at Wizard Academy, the best one to take. It's a not-for-profit school that we teach communicators and business owners how to actually do the things that I'm talking about today. And that's Magical World. You can pick up Roy's books. Roy H. Williams wrote a trilogy on principles and the main concepts that will endure the test of time 20 years ago. And those same pieces of advice and guiding principles hold true today because they're forged in the laws of nature. They're not talking about tactics. They're talking about the big thinking and how to form this thing right so that you have a business that is more persuasive. That's the Wizard of Ads, Magical Worlds of Wizard of Ads, and the Secret Formulas of Wizard of Ads. You can also get on a phone call with me at wizardofads.services, which is my own personal agency site that has a 45-minute session where we can go over your marketing, and I'm happy to do that for free to just talk about these three buckets that no one's ever talked to you about before and how they might look for you in your unique situation with your unique budget, with your unique competition, with your unique customer base that are going to steer how you might be able to dial in your marketing as it is or explore the ideas of having us help.
Awesome, Ryan. Okay. Well, thanks for your time. Hopefully this helps people listening, and I guess have a good week.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all the opportunity.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Peace.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.